Welcome to the Whole Enchilada, a community of high achievers that fight the status quo, rebel against mediocrity, and make life happen. Let's go. Hey, Enchilada Nation, really excited to have you back on the show with me today with not only a great guest, but a really good friend of mine, Jason Wells, a mega entrepreneur. Jason, you and I have known each other for, I was thinking about it this morning, over a decade now.
It is.
I think it's been almost 12 years.
Yep. Yes, it has, which I had not thought about that. So thank you for that.
Yeah. How come you look the same and the decade shows up on my face, but it does not show up on yours?
Because I stand further away from the camera.
Oh, that must be it. So Jason and I met in Phoenix, Arizona in real estate. We worked out of the same Keller Williams brokerage. And I was immediately attracted to Jason and his partner, Chris, at the time, in the fact that they were young, hustling entrepreneurs, thinking outside the box. It's very similar to how I think and feel. They didn't have one thing going. They had multiple things going. Jason's an attorney, a phenomenal real estate agent, and has a great team. Now leads a huge Keller Williams office in the Phoenix market. And the list goes on and on. But one of the things that's always impressed me about you, Jason, and very much in alignment with the Whole Enchilada message, is family is a critical priority for you, which I love. And I think a lot of people in our community know that what we do in the business world is to serve a life by design, which includes other people. So I honor you for that. Thank you. What else should our listeners know about you before we jump into our topic of conversation today?
I think for me, it's that everything I do is because I believe I'm put in here to be an instrument from God to help his children. That's what I believe. And that's what I feel in my soul is to how it is that I can help others develop their best self. And part of that for me is, like you said, is being a dad. My wife and I are going to celebrate 20 years in the summer. We've got 5 kids. Keeps us crazy. And really my family is both my family and like my leadership team operate as my family. And it's what can I do to help build their lives, help them live a better life. And anyone that I come in contact with, I want to find ways that they can be impacted, that find what it is, what's that one little thing that they need to help them live the life that God put them here for.
I love that. And I know this isn't our topic of conversation, but I want to go a little bit deeper on that for a second with you. It's interesting. You walk into Barnes & Noble, you pull up Audible and it gives you categories. There are books and books and volumes written on self-development, self-growth. And I love that you've identified part of your personal mission vision is not self-development, it's other people development.
Yes.
And you don't walk into Barnes & Noble and see a section on how to develop other people, right? I mean, there's obviously some books on coaching and things like that. But just out of curiosity, what was that kind of trigger in your world or in your entrepreneur journey or your life journey where you said, it's not about just developing me. It's about, like the way you put it, is actually a feeling like it's your calling to be on earth to develop and help other people grow. Was there some specific circumstances in your world that kind of made you go, that's what I'm about. That's what I got to focus my efforts on.
That is an incredibly good question, Marcus. And I was about 3 or 4 years into the business and I'm trying to figure out like, what's your why? People talk about what's your why. And I'd read Start With Why, fantastic book, right? From Simon Sinek. I read it multiple times. In fact, I go back to it as that reminder of why I'm here. And it started out with when I got into my business journey as my why was my family. And as I really explored that, I found that was actually kind of surface level for me. So my question was, well, why is it my family? And as I explored the why is it my family, I got deeper. It was like, oh, because I want to help and I want to give them. But I felt like there was more as I was working with my team and I would spend more time with my agents and people ask like, why do you spend so much time? Why do you care so much? I'm like, I don't know. I care because I care. What do you mean? I don't know how to answer that. And so it was through that process of developing, you know, my own internal vulnerability that I do this because I want to impact others. and that it's not my family. So I felt a little guilty in like changing my big why, being like, no, it's not my family.
Yeah.
My family is a part of that. If I'm impacting others, I'm impacting them. They're a part of that. But the real why I'm here is that. And the key piece to it, Marcus, was I was doing some scripture study and thinking about how like prophets go about, and so much what they do is for others and their calling. And I realized that my definition of my why was not clear because I had not included God in it. And as I thought about that, and I said, you know what, I'm going to put that out there for people to know, and they can think what they're going to think. It's none of my business. But for my true self, it's to be an instrument in God's hands for the growth and development of his children, to uncover and develop the talents they themselves may not know they have. And once I got that, well, I gained a lot of clarity and purpose on why I'm here and why I get up every day.
Man, I thanks for sharing that with me. It was, I think a lot of our listeners, the just so you guys know, we did not script this at all.
No.
I've told that story like almost verbatim about me, that my first week at Keller Williams, someone taught a class on the big why. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And someone in the room, they said, does someone in the room have a big why? Someone raised their hand and said, my family's my big why. And me being a high D was like, I love my family. I like the idea. I guess my family's my big why. And it was for some element of a time until I was like, there's more to this. There's a deeper drive to this. And that's where I flushed it out. And same aha I had is my family is not my big why. It's a big part of my big why.
Yes.
Yeah. But one of the ahas I just took away from that though, is I love the fact that you're so clear on including God in your big why. And I think that particularly the world we live in, I think speaking about religion or deity is almost a taboo topic. Like we're so scared of offending other people. And I don't understand why that is. We can still honor how people worship or how they choose to worship or how they view God in their lives, but I don't think we need to shy away from our own beliefs around that. And I honor that. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
All right, well, let's jump into our topic of conversation today, which is consumer behavior. Jason and I were actually on this last week. We were in Austin, Texas with about 1,000 other of the top leaders across the country on a leadership-based growth conference. He and I ended up on a call yesterday working through some other issues. And we started going down this path of a conversation around where is the industry and the world moving? And a lot of our listeners are entrepreneurs, particularly service-based entrepreneurs, where we need to better understand what the consumer needs. So Jason, let's talk a little bit about this. From your perspective, let's just jump into consumer behavior and how we need to address and understand consumer behavior to offer a better service to them.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on where you want to start with that?
I'd say, you know, as we talked about this, this is something that's been really occupying an immense amount of my headspace the last year and a half or so. And as I've done it, what I've realized is that as leaders in business, we focus so much on how to develop our business and what the business needs. And it's almost, at least for me, I have found that the consumer has become almost the afterthought of that. Now you may hear that initially and say, what do you mean? I do this for the consumer. What I mean is that we have our own preconceived notions of this is how it's going to go. And I'll give you an example, real estate agents, right? Real estate agents, they tell you about their why they know the business, the process, the fact that they're the digital mayor of their area, or they're the neighborhood expert. And that's the reason you should work with me. That's my value. They demonstrate their value, which is correct. You need to demonstrate your value. The problem is value is only value to the person receiving it. So if the consumer doesn't think it's valuable that you are the neighborhood quote unquote expert, or that you know the process really well, or that you'll answer your phone at all times of the day, including like 11 o'clock at night, 1 a.m. or whatever, those of you out there doing that, knock it off.
Yeah, right.
That's the consumer actually doesn't care about that. They don't. But if you give it to them, they're going to take it. So what does the consumer care about? Well, there's all this talk about how things are getting disrupted and real estate's being disrupted and all this. And well, why? That question of why is what fascinates me, to understand why the disruption takes place. And it's more than just the evolution of technology that causes that to take place. It's the evolution of the consumer that actually causes that. And then technology is the tool that provides the answers to the consumer. However, what my experience has been, Marcus, is that people go and they in the business, they start finding, how am I going to innovate and tweak and provide the same thing I'm doing in a fancier way or in a technology way? They haven't thrown out everything and just gone, what does my consumer want? And why do they want it? And that right there is why Amazon is the end all be all right now of everything. Because the consumer wants one main thing, convenience. They want convenience. They don't, you can tell them, oh, I've sold all these houses in this area. Well, that doesn't tell me that it's convenient. I can assume that it's convenient, but it doesn't tell me that it's convenient, right? I don't feel like it's convenient. You can say that I have this greatest process, my people take care of you, and I'm available to help you out. And that's, anytime something comes up, what do you mean? Something's going to come up, right? That's what the consumer says. What do you mean? Something's going to happen. So that certainty. When we look at at what happened during COVID, this for me was where it really highlighted it. This is where my eyes were really open to what the consumer is after. And it seems very simplistic though, to say convenience. Well, when you get to convenience, that's what the consumer wants, you have to start breaking down, well, what is convenience, right? And again, it's different to a lot of people. But when you look at what happened through the shutdown of everything, the thing that people needed was stuff to be convenient, where they couldn't access it. Where was I going to get it? How do I find it? When can I get it, right? All these things became really highlighted. And in real estate, the question to me started being, well, how do you provide this convenience? What is this convenience? And I was trapped in this value cycle. Okay, how do I provide more value? How do I enhance the experience, make it a better consumer experience? What I was missing was that the consumer wasn't really asking for the experience. The consumer looks at every one of the real estate agents or every attorney or every mortgage officer, insurance person, whatever it is you do, there's a certain level of what you provide that they view it as a commodity. That's just expected. Yeah, well, you should know the area. You should be able to help me get a good deal. You should be able to get me the best prices. You should be able to do this. That's your job. And so the consumer sees that not as a value distinguisher, but as really the great equalizer. And how do you differentiate yourself if you're in a room with your colleagues and every one of you is saying your value is the same thing? I know the process. I answer my phone. I take care of you, all that. Every one of you saying the same thing. What it's left is for the consumer to say, well, I trust or like or feel better with whichever one I pick. How is that going to help me build and scale a business? It's not, really. So I said, well, why are these disruptors, particularly in the real estate space, why are these disruptors in the real estate space taking the attention from the consumer and the real estate agent? What we found here in Phoenix, you know, Phoenix is the most disruptive real estate market on the planet. Everything that's going to have any legs going to be successful comes through here. So it either starts here or it's one of its first stops is to come through Phoenix. Which means we're constantly seeing different models, different disruption, different ways of doing things. And so the ones that have started really pulling more attention are like the iBuyers, these companies that will come in, you go online, you enter your information, and they're going to send you an offer for a cash purchase of your home. Well, they've been around now 6-7 years, but over the last like 2 years, I saw their market share dip significantly from COVID and then rebound really fast. And the reason was, hope I'm not rambling too much here, Marcus, the reason I started seeing that this was happening was that they had an offering to the consumer. And that really is the conceit, the key is an offer. And an offer that is one that is of convenience, that tells them I have convenience. There's a great book called Building a Story Brand. And Donald Miller in there, he talks about two elements that you have to have when creating your story, because the human mind, right, needs to process it. So the first thing is it has to be crystal clear what it is you're offering. When I say I know the market and I know this and I can do that, it's not really clear what I'm offering the client. Knowledge? Well, you should have knowledge, right? That's what they hear.
It's expectation.
Exactly. So it has to be clear to them what it is they're offering, so they don't have to engage their brain power. If they have to engage their brain power to kind of decipher what it is you're offering them, you start to lose them. The second thing is it has to be directly applicable to them. And that's it. Make it very applicable to the person. I have to see immediately, I grow, or I am improved, or I am benefited by using that thing. And that thing has to be so clear as to why and what it is that I don't have to engage my brain power. Those two things. So what the iBuyers were doing is they're saying, we'll buy your house. You name your closing date. It's cash. No inspections, no repairs, no none of this. Very clear what we're giving and why it's beneficial. And because of that, excuse me, what ends up happening is the consumer's like, oh, there's a new way of doing this. I don't want to deal with the traditional real estate process. I don't want to deal with people coming through my house. I don't want to deal with having to fix things up. I don't want to, I'd rather not deal with that. I accept it because that's what I have to do. Mm-hmm. And so because we see all these disruptors, there's another group here that has been very disruptive in their messaging, that how they can get your home sold in like a weekend. And that again is convenience that's being sold. And so without saying it's convenient and I'm selling convenience, they're giving you the elements of convenience, and the consumer is going in droves to these people. So that weekend sales group here in Phoenix, we sold just about 105,000 units last year. The most we've ever sold. This company had 6% of that by itself.
Wow.
Okay. Why? Is it because their messaging is so big and loud? No, it's because their offer of convenience is so clear and impactful to the consumer. So what we have to do is we have to change our thinking now. Instead of marketing my value proposition and marketing that, oh, I have another listing, we need to get to offering something that is of value to the consumer. And so I've come up with a three-step process for this. You have to have an offer. That's the first thing. You need an offer. And that offer is not a call to action. They're different. A call to action is not the same as an offer. This offer is, the call to action is where you tell somebody to do something. Give me a call to find out about this, right? Email us or go to the website or whatever. An offer is something that says, I'm going to give you this. I have this. I have access to this thing, or only I can do this. And you need, so that the implied part is you need me. And so sometimes that's called, referred to as like a make offer for immediate response, or sometimes referred to as a MOFR. But I think it's more than just the MOFR, like for immediate response. It's an offer that goes to the core value and need of the consumer. In order to have that offer work, you need a product or a program or a system behind it that you're offering around. And it's got to be smaller than everything I do. So as an attorney, it can't be that I represent you in court, or I can handle certain kinds of cases. It's got to be more specific.
About, be beyond the expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. So in real estate, it would be like this weekend program. So the offer is, hey, we can get it. We can make your life simple. That's really the offer. We can make your life simple. The product is we can sell your house in a weekend. You only have to deal with stuff for a weekend. That's the product. It's not anything nobody else can do, but they've just condensed their services into a package and said, here it is. Then the third thing you need is your value proposition. The stuff that you utilize it right now that you're leading with, you actually need to now use it to close and secure the deal. Don't lead with it. Use it to secure the deal. Here's why. What we found is here in Phoenix, if you're a listing agent, you go to a listing and already on the table, there's an offer from Open Door, an offer from OfferPad. There's an offer from, or a program from like this weekend company or something that are already there. And you're just lucky to even be in the door. I say that because they haven't chosen one of those three yet. You're lucky they didn't pick one of those three. And they said, Marcus, because we have a relationship with you, we'd like you to come over, but we've already been shopping you. So the idea that the agent gets the listing 75% of the time, or whatever NAR says it is, by being the first one there. No, that's going away because you're not getting to the table first. The reason you're not is the consumer doesn't think you can offer them a cash deal. They don't think you can sell off to them in a weekend. They don't think you have that ability. Why? Because you haven't told them. You haven't created a product and an offer around it to say, I do this. Instead, you come in and you're saying, oh, guess what, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, I do that too. Which is really saying, thank you for letting me be here so I can explain that I also do that. And you didn't select somebody else. And I just saw your sign in your yard and in the yard and you had gone with somebody else. That's a scary place really to be when you think about it. Google tells us that 54% of our databases are willing to try another brand thanks to COVID. That brand loyalty, it's not what we have thought about it before. They're willing to try something. They want something new. And in fact, through COVID and other things that were forced into mainstream, things like Instacart, things like Uber Eats or Postmates or DoorDash, right? All these things that were forced into the main QR codes that were forced into the mainstream, the consumer now has adopted that as part of their behavior. So you have to look at your business and say, have I adopted that into my business plan? And if you haven't, it's more than just creating a QR code. It starts with an offer on a product that you have and then your value proposition. Because what does happen is when you go in there and you have all three of those things, the other people like Opendoor, OfferPad, this weekend sales company, they can't touch you because you have what they have, an offer and a product, and you have a value proposition so much stronger, so much more robust, so much more experienced than anything they have that the consumer ends up saying, well, why would I go with anybody but you? And that is where we have to get. We have to change our thinking to approach the consumer with where they're at, which is, I want something convenient. And if we don't, they're going to go find it somewhere else.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think this is why you and I resonated so much in this conversation yesterday is the our opportunity is to change our mindset to better serve the consumer. Mm-hmm. I think about it as like, we've all had that kid in our house that we're trying to force feed broccoli to. We know the broccoli is good for them, but still in their mind, the more we try to force feed it to them, the more they're going to actually push it away. Right.
Right. That's and right.
I think a lot of us are approaching our businesses right now, like, we have to do more. We have to do something different. And we're on our side of the table, we're creating more. And those things may actually be of value to the consumer, but if it's not what they're asking for, then they're actually going to push away from it, right?
That's exactly right.
So that we've for so long, we've talked about how important the relationship is in business. And I'm still a big proponent that relationship is critical in a relationship. But agreed. But what it used to be is I think it used to be that the relationship out trumped convenience. People would be more willing to say, yeah, we'll jump through these hoops with you because we have this relationship.
Yes.
And now that's where it's flipped, is convenience out trumps relationship. But where I think the relationships comes in queue is if they look at those three or four different options and they can see convenience in all of them, the relationship could be the outweighing piece of like, right. Oh, I can still get the convenience and the relationship.
It's the deciding factor.
It's mm-hmm. the deciding factor. Right.
That's why you got to, it becomes your closing power, your closing superpower really is the relationship that you have with them. The relationship and your value proposition is your closing superpower to secure the deal.
Yep.
You don't get to close the deal if you don't get to the table.
Yes.
And that's where you have to now change. Say, I have the greatest superpowers we're talking about of anyone in my market. Well, that's a big beat the chest and people don't respond to that.
Yeah.
So you have to shift it and say, okay, what am I doing for the consumer? What am I offering and what am I giving you that's going to make things convenient? And then you close it with your superpower of your relationship and your value proposition.
Yeah. So from your perspective, you were coaching an agent or an entrepreneur right now to rethink this. Where do they start? Do they start like getting in the head of the consumer? Do they relook at their own why and their own value proposition? Like if you were going to coach someone on next steps to start better connecting with the consumer, the way the consumer needs to be connected with, how do you do that?
Love that question. What I'm coaching them on, my agents and that I have here at the office, is around rethinking what your consumer wants and how do you approach it. That's in part because I'm going to take the assumption if you're a high producer, that you have a strong value proposition, you know the process, all of that, you have relationships, you have a database, you have the elements. You're just getting disrupted right now. And you're getting disrupted because your message to market is wrong. And the reason it's wrong is because you're still saying things like, you know, oh, I guarantee that I can sell your house. Well, we've got a 98% success list to sell rate in Phoenix. Yeah. Everybody sells a house. That's not value. So you have to say, consumer, how do I meet the consumer where they're at? And so I challenge them all to break down the consumer in terms of convenience. And I've largely put convenience as to three definitions. It means fee. They want to know the fee. It's speed and it's certainty. Those are the three main elements of convenience that I have experienced. And when you can provide them that convenience that shows them I have the speed, I have the certainty, I have a reasonable fee, doesn't have to be the lowest fee. Just they want to know the fee. So when we're playing this game of it's behind, I can't tell you what it is, it's already off-putting to them. But you help them understand those three things up front. Boy, the door opens right away and they want to see you, because the consumer only enters the buy or sell cycle every 7 years, 7 to 10 years. It used to be 5 to 7. It's more like 7 to 10 years now, which means they don't know. They don't have anything to compare it against. You're comparing it as a professional. You're comparing it every day. So you know what the comparisons are. You know immediately what is value, what is not value, what will work, what won't work. They don't. Yep. So they have to shop and compare, which is why they've got Open Door, OfferPad, Weekend Sales Company, and they're saying, I haven't quite felt it yet, the relationship part. I'm going to talk to you, Marcus. Basically, they're saying, can you do this and make me feel warm and fuzzy? That's really what they're asking for. So it's the convenience. They want to compare, and then they want connection, right? They want to still have that connection with somebody. And so when, as an agent, what I tell them is that you need to look at these elements. And understanding this is why you have to change your message, because it's hard to change what you've been doing for 5, 10 years, 20 years in some cases, because it's worked so well. And all of a sudden, it's not working. Yeah. And so the thought is, I'm just going to double down. I'm going to dig harder on what I'm doing. I'm going to shove that broccoli in their mouth some more. I love that example. But it's not effective. And so you have to change and say, okay, if what the consumer wants is this convenience, how am I going to approach it? And then I can look back at my business and say, okay, within my business, what do I do really well? Maybe something I do really well is helping people, you know, fix their home up so that it gets top dollar. Right. Maybe I have a concierge program that will front some of the money for their updates, or I have a staging or whatever it is. Right. Package that into a product now and make an offer with it. And now what you're selling isn't that, hey, it's Jason Wells who does all these real estate stuff. You're like, hey, come check out my home refresh program that sells your home in 2 days. Right. Get you a contract in 2 days with less showings and no repairs. That's an offer with a product, and then your value proposition will close it.
I think this is brilliant. I think something I would challenge our listeners to do, no matter what it is, whether it's a product or a service you're selling, I think if everyone slowed down and thought through their listing consultation, right? Mm-hmm. So and break it down into sentences and ask yourself this question. Okay, if I'm sitting across the table for someone and I say, hey, I'm going to market your property by doing XYZ, is that what they're hoping to hear, or is that an expectation, right? So I would have the gumption to say that for the majority of us, if we did that, we'd have this list of our whole presentation is probably things they're already expecting us to do.
Correct.
And all of our competitors, the expectation is that they do those same things.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it that where are we layering that certainty and that speed piece that we're saying, yeah, all these things are expected. Let's spend less time on that. Let's really get to how do I solve this problem for you right now? Different than anybody else.
Yes.
I love that. Brilliant. And I do think there's more, if for any of us that have been in business for the last decade at a minimum, there's been so much more certainty in the market. Like the certainty has been like, oh, you put your house on the market, it sells, and mm-hmm. then we go find something else, we move into the house. Well, there's more uncertainty in probably for the majority of our listeners than any other time in our career, right? We've been on this economic run over the past over a decade, that this is the first hiccup a lot of people have experienced in the economy or in the world in general.
Yes.
And it's time for some innovation, recreation, but not getting overly creative, that it's not clear on what we're providing.
And that's the key element right there, Marcus. That's such a powerful thing you just said there, is not getting so creative, you lose the clarity. Because remember, the two elements that the consumer has to hit, it's got to be crystal clear why I want it and that it will benefit me, which they kind of go together, obviously. But those are the two elements. If I, as a consumer, engage any brain power trying to decipher why that matters to me, you lost. It wasn't clear enough.
Yeah.
You've got to get crystal clear. And you may be saying out there, well, I don't have a this or I don't have a that. Stop thinking that. Okay. You are the conduit. If you're a real estate agent, you are the conduit to all things real estate. I don't care if it's a power buyer. You can turn somebody into a cash buyer right now by connecting them with a power buyer.
Yep.
Right? You can help somebody sell their home for cash with no showings right now by connecting them with an iBuyer, because the iBuyers will work with you. And that's another thing, Marcus. Those of you out there who have not embraced the iBuyers yet as a part of what you're doing, let me suggest this to you. You're violating your fiduciary, because you are not even giving them the option. You're looking at like Open Door as like the big bad wolf, and they're trying to come and take away your business. Where that, even if that's true, your job is to match the needs and wants and interests of your consumer with what they are looking for. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to find the most convenient path and highest return for them. And that sometimes actually is these iBuyers. We're seeing here in Phoenix, we just actually had a deal we put under contract, market value, 525. You run the comps, it's 525 all day. We got a 603 offer from one of the iBuyers. 603. We went through the inspections. Oh, they're going to cut everything down during the inspections, right? Nope. It went up 10 grand. After the inspections, they increased their offer to 613.
Wow.
So don't tell me that it would have been okay for me to have just ignored the iBuyer in that case, because my client would not have been served. And that would have been a violation of my fiduciary. So finding how you embrace them, and these iBuyers will work with you. Did you know Open Door will pay you an extra 1% if you bring it to them? So you have whatever you have on your listing agreement, and they pay you a bonus of 1%. So they want to work with you. It's just, we have this idea that they're out there trying to take us out. But what if you became the conduit? And when you go to a listing, part of your value out there is you're telling people, look, I provide you all the options. I'm the source for all options out there. Okay. I can do it. You know, Marcus can, and that's your slogan, Marcus can, whatever it is, right? Marcus can. And one of those things is when I go to a listing, okay, I have a preliminary offer from Open Door for you. That's at 600,000. The market says 525. Which one do you want to go with? Because guess what? The consumer is going to go do it anyway, because they're going to shop you. And if you haven't brought it to them, they're going to just cut you out, because they're after the convenience.
That is right. That I think if our listeners are going to take anything away from this today, it's I hope it's that word right there, convenience. We got to get away from the idea of thinking that just the standard things that we offer, the expectations, are not the convenience that the consumer is looking for. That's the minimum standard.
Yep. So it's a commodity to them.
It's a commodity. And what I know about this group, people that are really focused on growing as people and living a life by design, is not one of us wants to be the minimum standard. Not one of us wants to be the status quo. And when we walk in and offer the expectation, that's basically what we're saying is we are average.
So that's right.
If we want to provide a better service, a better outcome than anybody else, yes, we need to double down on our relationships, but the greatest way to grow your relationship with people is fix a problem for them. And the way to fix a problem for them is offer a convenient solution that gets them to where they want to go. And that may take a little bit of creativity, but again, I'm encouraging not to get too far out there in your creativity. It's there. We see the patterns in the marketplace already of what the consumer wants. It's does your product line up with that? And if it doesn't, using Jason's terminology, figure out how to be the conduit to that solution.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to go recreate it.
That's exactly right.
Brilliant conversation today, Jason. I was really fired up to have this conversation today after you and I kind of poked the bear a little bit talking about this yesterday. but I really appreciate you scheduling some time with me to sit down and chat through this. Any last comments you want to leave with our group today?
I would say, you know, this group really is about challenging the status quo and rebelling against mediocrity. It's time. The market is shifting, especially within real estate. Well, the economy in general is, but real estate specifically, a shift is occurring. Now, shift doesn't mean it's all going to fall apart in a big downturn. It just means the way things have been done are going to change. So what's going to dictate that change is the consumer. So get out there, challenge the status quo of what's been. Rebel against the idea of mediocrity, which is just your value proposition. You have more to offer than that. You just haven't taken the time to sit down and think about how can I package together, give it a name, what I already do, and then lead with an offer to that.
Love it. Perfectly said. All right, Enchilada Nation, thank you so much for plugging in. Keep leaning in. Don't forget to go follow us on YouTube, your favorite social media platform, and your favorite podcast player. Appreciate you guys being on. And don't forget, go live life on your terms.